930 WFMD is at your service, featuring local business people who are experts in their field.
Cross a few creeks, and a couple little shacks. Yeah, you gotta get lost.
Good morning, WFMD listeners. This is Jay Day with Real Talk Real Estate and
Christina Day.
And here we are in a new year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to everybody, all of our listeners here. And, you know, it's funny because we were starting to see some changes as we were getting to, you know, the fourth quarter of last year. And now it looks like we may be going into a cycle of repetition, unfortunately.
Right.
A little bit of regression.
Right.
On certain ways. So,
and that could be in a positive way for people.
Yes, yes, it could. So, you know, what we thought we would do, instead of looking at, you know, 2021, that's behind us now, let's look and see what all the experts that are, or quote-unquote experts out there, are saying about the forecasting for the housing market as of this year.
Okay, so there are thoughts, and the things that we have to look at, everybody always wants to know. I mean, kind of our job is to give a crystal ball for what values might be, what your activity might be. And, you know, when people are thinking about buying and selling, it's not like they're going to go do it tomorrow. Usually it's, you know, a couple months down the road, they're planning, they're preparing. And so right now there's a lot of big question marks out there for people, and us included, because there's a lot of things that can influence what the mortgage rates will be, what the housing inventory is going to be, and what the buyer demand is going to be. And one of the things that is kind of the big elephant in the room is this rise in COVID cases. And it's been a significant rise. And we've seen some school systems, you know, going back to virtual learning, some colleges going back to virtual learning. So depending on how long this persists, I think will also dictate how much of a shutdown do we see, or a slowdown do we see in the ability for people to go live their lives as normally as possible, which will in turn affect the housing market.
Yeah, I mean, people were finally starting to get a little more comfortable with having their houses shown and allowing people in, because we did still have a fair amount of people that were still a little concerned, and they sort of came back at that end of last year feeling a little more confident.
Right, which was the rise in inventory we saw.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, the feds have talked about, they're saying that they're going to raise rates at least three times this year. And, you know, that's not a specific, you know, that's not going to impact it directly, but it's an indirect correlation with what could happen with the interest rates for mortgages.
Yeah.
So,
The thoughts on the mortgage rates, so the Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, Mortgage Bankers Association, and National Association of Realtors all have weighed in on what their expectations are in terms of what they think mortgage rates will be. And they're all kind of guessing that the mortgage rates for 2022 will range somewhere between 3.25 and 4. So not a huge increase that they're expecting with the actual mortgage rates, because remember, mortgage rates are tied to the stock and bond market and the securities trading on the back end that people don't really realize. They all think that it's the Fed pushes the button and that's what the rate is. So if they stay under 4, I think we'll still be in really good shape, though.
Yeah. I mean, the big thing that's going to impact the buyers is everyone, and I don't mean this in a rude way, but everyone has been spoiled with those numbers, sometimes starting with a 2.
Yeah.
And now what that means, when you were looking at buying a house that was $600,000 at 2.75 versus maybe it hits 4%, not as many people will be able to qualify for that monthly payment.
Right, right. So that's going to help, for a buyer's perspective, that's going to help bring those prices themselves down, but it's not going to change their monthly payment for the benefit, because the benefit is going to be, you know, to them just getting a lower price. Monthly payment is going to be the same.
Right.
For sellers, it's going to hurt you as those interest rates rise, because it is going to put downward pressure on pricing. People will not be able to afford as much because it's going to cost them more to borrow the money to buy the house. So it won't matter that your neighbor's house sold 9 months ago or 6 months ago or a year ago at $675,000, now the affordability index is going to change a little bit, and that's going to put downward pressure on your number.
Yeah, and what I would see would happen more so in the beginning before prices start dropping would be, you know, maybe instead of it taking a month to sell your house, it may take 2 months because maybe before you had 20 people that could afford that house, and now you're down to 12 or 13 or right. whatever that number is. So your audience, you know, your funnel will just start getting a little tighter for who can afford at that price.
But wait, there's a curveball that could affect that, and all that right. would be inventory.
Yes.
Because if we have a lack of inventory and the demand stays strong and people continue to spend what they're going to spend to get the house that they need to get or want to get, then that is going to keep those prices moving in a steady, consistent, and upward manner, which we have seen some forecasts indicating that that might be the case, that there will still be a steady increase and not a decline. So Brett Hunter of Hunter Housing Economics said the recent unsustainable rate of home prices and appreciation will slow sharply. Home prices will not decline, but they will simply rise at a more sustainable pace, which is a good thing for everybody. I think that's kind of a win in many cases.
And you talked about Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, the National Association of Realtors, and the Maryland Bank Association, and they have some forecasting for home sales and what they're projecting will happen. And of those, Fannie Mae is the only one who has any guesstimate or projection that it'll actually drop a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's a small, small drop is what they're thinking. Freddie Mac and the National Association of Realtors think it's going to be dead even. Same sales pace as what we had last year. And then the Mortgage Bankers Association, they think it's going to be more home selling in 2022. So it's interesting. It'll be, you know, NAR and Freddie Mac sort of played it safe and said, it'll be about the same. And Fannie said, nope. And it'll be interesting to see what happens. And I think a lot of it does sort of feed out that whole thing of what's going on with COVID, what's going on with all these other things, and how afraid are people to put their house on the market and have people walking through?
Yeah.
I mean, that you can't explain enough of what happened in that world where we had to do things virtually and we had to change our whole process. And like I said, it hits me because I remember we had people that basically said, you know, we're just going to pause this right now. And they just came back. And now, you know, I think that fear factor is going to be hitting people a lot more than we may even realize.
Yeah. And that elective move for folks over the last year and a half, you know, going on 2 years, worked out financially in their benefit when they paused and they came back to put their house on the market later after the appreciation had occurred. But that appreciation occurred because there was such a severe lack of inventory over the last year and a half of homes available for people to buy. So we are still seeing, the seasonal effect. Right now we have a seasonal effect of lesser inventory. So we are seeing that. It'll be interesting to see how January shapes up going into February. I know we have a lot of homes that just were going on the market and getting photographed and things like that this month, people who were waiting until after the holidays to push go. So it'll be really interesting to see how that looks, you know, in our area. Overall, what do we see happening? And do we have people who then, you know, are like, yeah, I'm going to do it? Or do we have people who go, let's wait and see what's going to happen?
Yeah, and I mean, our team's fourth quarter was, I think it was the busiest season that I remember seeing, to the point of we had closings on Christmas Eve. We had multiple homes going under contract on Christmas Eve. It's been a while since we've had stuff happening, you know, Christmas Eve. We didn't have anything Christmas Day, but like I said, it was a flurry of activity up mm-hmm. until I think one of our clients went under contract at like 10 something at night on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Because there was just, people who were serious are out there looking, and it didn't matter what was going on in the world yeah. around them.
Yep. And that's why we tell you, don't let the holidays fool you. It's still a good time to sell your home. And you've had some interesting things, you know, come up over the last, you know, month or so with regard to people who wanted to sell and kind of unique properties and farms and things like that, where, you know, usually you don't think of a farm going on in getting into the dead of winter, but they have, and they're moving because there's not a lot out there.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. We had one recently that didn't even really make it to the market. And, you know, there's just these unique properties that are out there. And typically, like you said, the farms in the wintertime tend to not be as appealing. They don't look as nice. They're not producing as much. They're, you know, it's just a whole different animal. But because there's this lack of the right properties out there, if you have something that is very well cared for, looks great, and can fit in. It can be just like a move-in. And that one we're talking about, you know, the person was coming here from completely on the West Coast, from California.
Yep. People are still moving.
Yeah, they are. They're not. And we're seeing that a whole lot. I mean, and it's funny because even in Maryland, you know, well, we're seeing people, you know, we have friends that are out on the West Coast and we see a ton of people moving from there. We see people moving from New York. But we also have a lot of people leaving Maryland and going south.
Yeah.
A lot of people going south. I mean, the Carolinas and Florida have been probably the biggest areas that we've seen people going to.
Yeah.
And I've had a few that were going out to Tennessee. And like I said, it's very interesting because, you know, you never know. And then you talk to people and they're like, yeah, I'm done. I want to try this. I want to go here. Mm-hmm. And like I said, we see a lot coming from, you know, some of these other states that have a lot of restrictions happening right now.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are a little disturbed by all that that's happening.
It's interesting to see how politics is really affecting real estate at such a dramatic level these days. It's a little bit different of a motivation and an influencer. We always had in Maryland people moving out of Maryland because Maryland has never really consistently been business friendly. So most of the, you know, big corporations that left, you know, for example, here in the Frederick area, we had Bechtel leave, you know, SolarX was no more. We had MedImmune and things like that that were here locally, and they all vacated because of not being tax friendly and business friendly.
Yeah, we've always had people.
Owners, same thing.
Yeah, we had lots of people retiring and going to Florida for tax benefit.
Yeah,
or even just going to Delaware, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. But yeah, now it's not just a tax thing. It's a very politically motivated move of, you know, they were just feeling a little overwhelmed with the restrictions. And we've got friends we know that are in New York and different areas, and same thing. There was a real estate team that was in New York, and they just closed shop completely and decided they were going to reopen and start in Florida.
And they're living their best life.
Yeah. So yeah, pretty
they
much.
They are enjoying the sunshine this time of year.
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, there's some other articles that I've read, and it was an interesting one, you know, because the big thing is, you know, what's going to grab your attention? And of course, you know, the headlines are always the things that sort of grab your attention. And I saw a headline that home buyers are, you know, going on a shopping spree this winter. And, you know, it sort of gave an idea of what the psychology behind the buyers are right now. If you wanted to touch on some of that.
Sure. So people are looking at spending money while they can get money cheap. So there's that. And then there's also people who are feeling the scarcity, right? So scarcity creates a demand in and of itself.
Oh, I mean, think about toilet paper.
Yeah, right. There isn't a lot of it, so I better go get mine. And so I do think that the news about the housing market being in such hot demand, well, if it's in hot demand, then I should want it too. If I can borrow money lower now than I will be in a year, I better use it now. So there is a demand. And then there's also lifestyle, which we've experienced this over the last year and a half, right? People need more space working from home. People need more space schooling at home. We are seeing a lot of people electively homeschooling, not because of virtual school, but because they've decided to take their kids out of the school system and they are choosing to homeschool. I'm seeing a lot of that with my clients, and needing room to do that or being in an area that supports that.
Oh, I mean, and again, not to get into it, but we're in this area and it was all in the news cycle, but, you know, just right across the line over in Loudoun County, all the stuff that was happening over there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of reasons behind people deciding that they don't like what's happening in the schools. Maybe it's how they're handling COVID. Maybe it's how they're handling other things. Maybe it's what they're teaching. But a lot of people are saying, you know what, this is just something that we, you know, we may need to bring in house again. But, you know, I think that gives us a little bit of a good time to take a quick break.
Yep.
We'll be right back with you with Real Talk Real Estate.
Lots of realtors can sell your home, but there's only one whose name is a poem. To buy or sell in the savviest way, pick up the phone and talk to J-Day. That's J-Day and the Day, home team of real estate teams, the people who make buying and selling a dream. Customers know they're the best, at least that's what they say. And you know what J's middle initial is? Yeah, it's A. J-A Day. What were his parents thinking? If I didn't know better, I'd say they've been drinking. But that's no matter, because the point here is this. With the Day home team, you just can't miss. this. They know where the market's going, they know where it's been, they know how to compete, and they know how to win. Their people are friendly, their marketing is bold, they've got over $2 billion in real estate sold. In Maryland, Virginia, West Virginia, and Southern PA, both buyers and sellers trust J-Day. Jay's team has what it takes, so experience the difference a day makes. Thank you for taking your valuable time to listen to the 60-second radio rhyme, and remember, for buying or selling the day, home team's the bomb. Call 855-999-4669 or go to dayhometeam.com.
And we're right back with you. Gave you a lot of information this last time on what was happening, why people may be leaving. One of the things that, you know, you also hear on the news sometimes, and we know news cycles and what you can trust, what you can't trust. One thing that, you know, I do hear every once in a while, and it still sort of baffles me, is, you know, our price is going to decline. Interest rates are going to go up, so prices are going to drop. And we sort of touched on this earlier with the forecasting of what's going to happen with, you know, are there going to be less homes to sell? What's going to happen? We talked about that a little bit. But, you know, what is your take, and what do you think can, you know, sort of change all of this stuff, you know, as we get into this year?
So, I mean, I think that so long as you have an inventory issue, so long as you have more buyers than sellers, your prices are not going to drop. Now, might they slow? Might they steady? Might they plateau? Absolutely. But I don't foresee a drop in the near future so long as we are still working with a lesser inventory. Now, as we get more inventory on the market and as more sellers decide to put their houses on the market at the same time, you will see there's more for people to choose from. Your days on market gets longer. Your push for the higher number becomes less likely.
You may have to make repairs.
Yes,
you may have
just
to
like
do
we
updates.
Saw in the last quarter, right?
Yeah.
So we saw that in the end of 2021. And even in the second, you know, I'd say even in the second half, it started in the summer. You could really tell looking at the numbers that there was a plateau and the numbers of days on market was going up. The pricing was not pushing as aggressively. We had less offers per property than we had in the spring. Still, in many cases, multiple offers, but not the same craziness that we had had before. And from talking to our friends around the country who have teams and brokerage offices that they own, they all experienced very much the same thing. It was consistent throughout the country, which was interesting.
Yeah. And I mean, I think the other thing, too, is, you know, again, we all have short memories. So
don't we, though?
When we talk about the interest rates, it wasn't that long ago. I mean, I haven't been in this forever, but it wasn't that long ago that interest rates were in the sixes and the fives.
Yeah.
So, I mean, still, worst case scenario, if the worst case prediction is we hit 4%, that is still historically extremely low.
Yeah.
So, you know, and as long as people have – what they're not realizing is the government forcing these higher – wages gives people more money as well.
Yes.
You know, so people are bringing home more money. There, like I said, it's so many different pieces to this puzzle.
And the inflation overall affects things, right? So when it costs more for gas, those of you who live further out, you're kind of on the poop end of the stick with that, because we saw this before. We have seen this exact cycle before with gas prices.
Yeah, and we had a mass exodus at one point. People leaving the state of Maryland, going to Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm.
and then
looking for cheaper prices.
And then gas prices hit over $4 a gallon.
And guess what?
And then everybody sold, not everybody, but tons of people sold in Pennsylvania and moved back to Maryland. And it's funny because I haven't seen that. However, when we look at the stats, as we talked about in our last show, we're still looking at Pennsylvania as days on market. The market is slowing down faster in the areas that are a little further away from most of the employment centers.
Yes, they are.
And, you know, I don't know if that's a one-to-one correlation, because, again, you can't base almost anything on what the past was during these crazy times. But I wouldn't be surprised. But, again, we also haven't hit the highest gas prices that we had back then either. Remember, like I said,
well, they're getting pretty darn close. I filled up my tank the other day, and it was close to $4 a gallon.
Oh, wow.
And
see, I go to Costco, so.
a gratuitous plug for Costco. Yeah. But
hey, great gas prices. That's all I'm going to say. When you drive a big SUV, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
But yeah, I mean, so I filled up, and it was almost $4 a gallon. And as I stood there staring at the pump in dismay, because we drive around all over the countryside for a living, you know, I thought a year and a half ago, it was basically half this.
Yeah.
So I don't care what the news tells you the increase is and what marginal amount it's increased. It was significant when you look at filling up your tank and you have to drive around all day. And that will affect people.
Where I've seen the biggest is, and again, you were typically the one that did a lot of the grocery shopping. But as I go and grab things, and I know I typically grab about the same items.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I see that my items haven't changed, but my bill has doubled.
Yes.
Sometimes almost tripled based on what I'm getting. Yeah. And I'm like, this is insane. Yeah. Like, it absolutely is. And, you know, those that are living paycheck to paycheck, you know, you're not going to – the most important things to you are, you know, food and shelter. However, you need transportation to have a job, mm-hmm. to be able to earn the money. So it's like, what's going to give?
So I met with somebody the other day and speaking about budgets and things that can make a home more appealing. And they had a geothermal system in their property. And the interesting thing with their geothermal system, you would have really loved this. It had this really cool control pad that showed how much electric you used per day to heat or cool the house.
Hmm.
And it was literally less than a dollar a day with the geothermal to do a 2,400 square foot rancher with the 2,400 below grade. That's
wow,
amazing.
That's, yeah.
So their electric bill and everything in their property was electric. They said ran around $100. That was cooking, drying clothes.
That's pretty impressive. Yeah.
That's amazing. So I think that when we have things like that, if you have things like that, if you have solar, you know, solar has always been kind of a iffy thing. But if solar is going to help save you on your electric bill, that's going to help save you on your overall affordability on living expenses.
Well,
the geothermal, super cheap.
As much of a complex thing it is when people have those solar panel leases, realistically, all the homes that I've sold that have them, when they give the breakdown of what their bills are, it is crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. And because most of them are larger homes.
Yeah.
And I am always surprised. I'm a little weird and I wouldn't want to put holes in the roof. You know, I have other issues. But when you're on a tight budget with things, that stuff does matter.
Oh, yeah. So let's talk real quick about, because I know we don't have a huge amount of time left. If you're thinking about selling or buying as we roll into this first quarter of 2022, what do you need to be thinking about and what do you need to do? And so one of the things I'm telling people when we're meeting with them and our agents are telling people when we're meeting with them to sell is I'm going to give you a what is right now.
Right.
If you're moving in 6 months, I can give you a what is right now, and we just have to play it by ear going forward from there because there is this uncertainty. There are these factors that are going to influence it.
Yeah, and that's even more important because we really don't know. We were very fortunate. We could say, hey, based on the market conditions, it'll probably go up.
Right.
Now, we don't know, like you said, will it plateau? Will it drop? You know, if the rates go from 3.25 to 4, That is going to make a difference.
Yes,
it really is.
The other thing that I'm telling people, and you know, you can give some insights on what you're saying when you're meeting with people too. But I'm giving them if you do nothing, and you leave the carpet the way it is, and you don't change anything, truly like just clean it up, stage it to look nice, but don't make any significant investment in repairs or improvements. This is your number. And if you do these other things that would make it more ideally marketable by doing things like carpet, paint, et cetera, then this is the number that I would give you. Because when the market was in extreme demand, you didn't have to worry about changing your carpet.
Yeah, and I would say with that, it depends on the property.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when I went out recently and dealt with a specific farm, because of all the outbuildings and all the things that were done, and the inside of the home was a little more on the dated side. And I told them, I don't think you need to do anything because your property is so unique. The people that are looking for it will probably look past what the indoors is.
Right.
However, if I go now to a house in a neighborhood, a traditional neighborhood where the builder may still be building or things like that, the story is a little different. Because, you know, now there will be some people that'll just pass because if they can wait for new construction, they will. but and there's other people that have to make a move and do it quickly, so they don't have much of a choice. But they would like to have that finished basement, or you know, or having a more modern looking flooring, not you know the old school vinyl that was put in the 90s or the 80s. People are looking for those things, and the funny thing is, like even. I know you're not a huge fan of the LVP or LVT because there's two different types, you know, but that's like almost becoming standard in even more expensive homes. It's pretty interesting.
It is very common. You're seeing it in a lot of the new builds. I know Ryan Homes is using it. I've been in a couple of clients that I've sold them their Ryan home, and they have that in there. I'm not personally a big fan of it, but I do see the value in it when you have kids and pets and, you know, considering the wear and tear that wood floors, you know, take a beating with and it looks like wood.
Yeah, and it's funny because I'm seeing it even in newer homes that are pulling, you know, $800,000-$900,000.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Where before they were putting in more of like a specialty hardwood, not your standard hardwood, you know. Yeah. It's changed dramatically.
Remember when Brazilian was all the rage, the Brazilian wood floors?
Yes. And then you had the people that wanted the bamboo, and then, you know.
It all cycles, right?
it really does, but there are specific things
that people. Hey, bell-bottoms are back, and our 13-year-old is wearing bell-bottoms.
But
so,
she
hey.
Called them, what did she call them, flares?
Yes.
I'm like, those are bell-bottoms. Those are not flares. Those are bell-bottoms.
But the brass and the gold tone for the fixtures is back. See, had we just waited and not changed anything in our house, we'd be right back in style.
It is. And one of my builders, I teased her about a year and a half ago because she loved blue cabinets.
Yeah.
And if you go to Wayfair, if you go to all these, there's blue vanities, blue kitchen cabinets. Yeah. I've never seen anything. And it's like a royal blue.
Yeah.
Never seen anything like that. I mean, it's sort of crazy.
And that's one of the things, you know, when we're talking about updating and getting ready to go on the market, adding a few things that give a pop and give that feeling of, hey, this is current and this feels good, right? It's all about creating that feeling for a buyer when you're a seller, getting them to feel like they could really live in your home. That's the goal. Now, for you buyers, keep in mind, paint is easy and cheap. Right? You can do the paint. If you need to look past paint, look past paint. You can get a cleaning crew in there. You know, you can change some fixtures. It's not rocket science, and it's not, you know, ridiculously expensive to change some fixtures. Flooring, depending on what you like, could be a little more expensive. It just depends.
Yeah. It's, I mean, the big thing is, you know, just reach out to us. We're here to answer questions. There's no rush. There's no obligation. And I mean, I'll bring up that farm again, because when I first talked to them, they were just thinking that they may want to sell. And then when I gave them the numbers, it was automatically like, okay. And then I called them and said, hey, you know, I know an agent. They've got a buyer looking. And next thing you know, it was sold.
Yeah.
And they were in total shock that it could happen that fast. But they got a number that they didn't even think was possible. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, we're going to move for this because we're not going
to have to do anything to get there. Either.
No, so. not one thing. So, I mean, if you're listening to this and you want to reach out to us, you know, you can always visit our website, dayhometeam.com. That's dayhometeam.com. Or you can reach us at 866-702-9038. Again, 866-702-9038. Visit dayhometeam.com. I'm Jay Day.
And Christina Day.
And we appreciate you listening to our Real Talk Real Estate Show. We will be back on in February, and we hope you listen to us then. Until then, have a great 2022. Till you hear that.